सर्वेषां नमस्कारः। योगसूत्र परिचयः तस्य त्रिंशः वर्गः। प्रार्थना श्लोकेन आरम्भः। योगेन चित्तस्य पदेन वाचां मलं शरीरस्य च वैद्यकेन योपाकरोत्तं प्रवरं मुनीनां पतञ्जलिं प्राञ्जलिरानतोऽस्मि। सो इन् द प्रीवियस् क्लास् वि बिगेन् द फोर्थ् अण्ड् द फैनल् चाप्टर् आफ् योगसूत्र, दट् इस् द कैवल्यपाद। विल् डू अ शार्ट् रिव्यू आफ् दट् प्रीवियस् क्लास्। सो in the first segment one could see a continuation of discussion on the siddhis themselves. So third chapter was vibhuti pada, which discusses various siddhis, and then even in the fourth pada, in the first segment, the first unit, there are points on various siddhis. How five modes are there, five methods are there to attain siddhis, of which dharana, dhyana, samadhi is one method. And then how by the filling up of prakriti, one form changes into another, a man becoming a divinity, a godly form changing into an animal form, all these change of physical forms is nothing but change in influx of prakriti. That was explained in the second sutra. And then prakriti is always active, only the punya papa are just facilitators, or they remove the blocks in the movement of prakriti, blockages in the movement of prakriti, and the prakriti flows naturally. So that factor was explained in the third sutra. And then the fourth sutra further explains that a yogi who takes multiple forms creates multiple minds to experience multiple sensations in those multiple bodies. So those multiple minds are called as Nirmana Chittani, which are created from Asmita. And further continuing the same thought, the next sutra said that there will be a Nayaka Chitta, which controls all these inputs from the Nirmana Chittas, multiple created minds, so that there is an unified experience that is submitted to the yogi. And an important observation in the sixth sutra is that though there are these many types of ways to attain the siddhis, it is the siddhi attained through the dhyana, dharana and samadhi method which will not create ashaya. Ashaya is a residue or a storehouse of punya and papa, which will further or continue this vicious circle of birth and death. And so, in the process of attaining siddhi, if one does not want to get bound, then he should choose the dharana, dhyana, samadhi method, which is harmless for those who desire self-realization. And further, the actions of yogi which does not create ashaya, how do they not create ashaya? Because neither are they punya nor are they papa karmas. Neither are they shukla, white, nor are they papa, black, ashukla or Krishna. So by this, for others karmas or actions are punya, or papa, or a mixture of both punya and papa. So this is how a yogi escapes from the punya papa cycle by performing yoga, which is neither punya nor papa. Now we move on to the next the concepts for today. On specifically the topic of vasanas. It is in the Yoga Sudhakarakara says that prasangat vipaka ashaya abhivyaktehe karma abhivyakti nidanatvam abhidhatum aha. It, about karma, it was spoken. The three types of karmas, it was spoken. So if the karmas have to yield their results, then vasanas are essential. What are vasanas? Vasanas are types of samskaras. What kind of samskaras? These are records or impressions of past life experiences. These are not karmic in nature. These are just a record of a way of way the life was led. For example, see, samskaras are karma samskaras and jnana samskaras. There are two types. Karma samskaras are of the nature of punya and papa. Jnana samskaras are those which create memory. Vasanas fall under the jnana samskara category. In the sense that any experience creates an impression in the mind which is recollected as memory at a later point of time. And in my view, vasanas are those memories of past life. Whereas karma phala are again from the karma samskaras which lead to experiences. So these are two things. Karma samskaras and jnana samskaras. So jnana samskaras in the same life are called as smriti. When those jnana samskaras are unconsciously recollected in a later life, then they are called as vasanas. So, for example, a child takes birth, or a soul takes birth as a human being, and then it behaves as a human being. How does the various behavioral things come? Some are acquired in this birth, whereas certain activities, certain types, certain behaviors are inherited from the previous births. So those are called as vasanas. And there is one more dimension to this term vasana. If a soul takes birth, or if a soul transmigrates and attains a life of a human being or a cat, it should either behave like in the life of a human being, it should behave like a human being, and then it should start behaving like a cat in the life of a cat. So the stored cat impressions, or the way a cat behaves, is because of a previous cat life, an entire life of cat that the particular jiva or the soul had attained earlier. Similarly, the life of a cow, if an individual soul attains the life of a cow, the vasana pocket from any previous janma, they manifest. or they are kindled, so that a person behaves like a cow, an individual behaves like a cow. So this is the meaning of the term vasana when we see. So this should be remembered here in this context. And these vasanas are the ones which make this life possible. And these vasanas are to be shed. Of course, karmas are to be shed. Along with this, vasanas should also be shed to escape from or to overcome, or they are to be overcome again to become free from worldly life to get into the spiritual life. That will also be mentioned in this section on vasana. So this one says, Sutra 8, Tataha tadvipaka anugunanam eva abhivyaktihi vasananam. Tataha, so a person acquires Shukla karma or Krishna karma or Shukla Krishna karma. So from that, by that, after the acquiring of those karmas, what happens? Tadvipaka anuguna. So in the next birth, so when those vasanas are to, when those karmas are to give their vipaka, when they are to fructify in the next birth, so whichever is appropriate, anuguna, so whichever vipaka is going to happen, vipaka, the fructification in the form of any of the life forms, anuguna, in accordance with that, conducive to the kind of vipaka or the fructification of the punya papa karmas, vasananam abhivyaktihi. So only in such way which is conducive to the fructification of the karmas acquired, Shukla or Krishna karmas acquired in any given birth, in the next birth, vasananam abhivyaktihi, the vasanas will manifest. So acquiring karma, acquiring Shukla or Krishna karmas happen in this birth. At the end of the birth, all the permutations and combinations will be worked out, and the vipaka package, that is the karma samskaras, in the form of punya papa, will be ready to manifest at the end of this birth, leading to the next birth. And then along with that, they will pull along with them, those karma samskaras will pick and choose and pull along with them whichever packet of vasanas which is acquired in the previous birth for the forward movement of a jiva into his next birth. So karma samskara unit, when it is decided as to which birth has to be given, a cow or a cat or a human being, that is decided by the karma samskaras. And then in the chitta of the jiva, many lives will be there, the vasanas of many lives, so many species or so many life forms he would have taken. And based on the karma samskaras, based on the nature of the karma samskaras, those karma samskaras will take the set of jnana samskaras in the form of vasana, so that they give rise to the next birth. So one might remember that the vipaka is based on the vipaka is derived as jati, vipakaha, jati, ayu and bhoga. Jati is the nature of life form, Ayu is the lifespan, and Bhoga are the experiences. And the life form is decided by the karma samskaras, and the hardware is decided by the karma samskaras, whereas the software as to how that life form naturally behaves, that comes from the vasanas. So such appropriate vasanas, which are of the form of jnana samskaras of previous birth, and the karma samskaras that give birth to jati, ayur, bhoga, they join together and give rise to the next birth. That is how the new birth happens. So the discussion on vasana begins from this. And certain clarification is given here. Jati, desha, kala on vasanas in this ninth sutra. Jati, desha, kala, vyavahitanam api anantaryam smriti samskara yoho ekarupatvat. The point is that a person has attained in this birth, he was a human being and did certain karmas which is giving rise to a birth of a cat in the next janma. So his cat vasanas should manifest in the next birth he is going to take. So the current birth of the end of which he is in is human in nature, take for example, and the next birth is going to be a cat birth. So the vasanas of the cat might not essentially is not so they that those vasanas of a cat as to how a cat behaves and acts would be due to a cat birth he had taken in any of his previous births. The point that is made here is, even if the vasanas as a cat life is far removed from the upcoming birth, still those cat vasanas will manifest. They will jati, desha, kala will not be a hindering factor in blocking the cat vasanas to manifest. Even though the cat vasanas might have been acquired many many births before, many many lives before. So jati, desha, kala, vyavahitanam api anantaryam. Vyavahitanam, vasananam. Vyavahitanam, vyavahita refers to being impeded. Jati, desha, kala. So even though there is a break, even though there is a gap caused by birth, the previous birth, desha, the cat vasana might be the next birth might happen in Patala, or the next birth might happen in Swarga. The cat vasana might have been acquired in Bhuloka, but that doesn't matter. Kala, and again many many thousands of births before which might have happened many many years, many many thousands of years before, a person might have acquired the cat vasanas. So even though there is a gap, vyavadhana, created by jati, desha and kala, still anantaryam, still that will continue. So if cat vasanas have to manifest, then cat vasanas will manifest, being kindled by the appropriate samskara, which is going to give the vipaka, karma samskara, which is going to give vipaka, because smriti samskara yoho ekarupatvat. Because whatever will be the samskara, the smriti will also be created accordingly. So there is a sense of homogeneity or homogeneous, no sense of homogeneity. Samskaras are the ones which generate the smriti. So whatever is the nature of samskara which is being kindled, it will be the same nature of smriti which will be generated. The point is, even though a samskara is thousands of years old, still when that samskara is kindled for manifestation, then it will generate the same kind of smriti for which it it was recorded. For example, the samskaras here refer to the cat samskaras. So samskaras acquired in the cat life is called as cat samskaras. When those cat-like or cat experiences which are stored in the form of samskaras are kindled by the karma samskaras, which are going to yield the vipaka, the fructification of the karmas, then they will certainly give rise only to the memories or the smriti that is of the nature of the experiences of a cat. So, due to the passage of time, the point that is made in this sutra is, due to the passage of time, samskaras will not lose their nature. Samskaras will not get transformed. Samskaras, in whichever way they have been gained, whenever they are kindled, they will give rise to the same kind of memory in which they are meant to give the memory. So, the vasanas of a cat life, which are there in the form of samskaras in the mind, even though they are very old, or even though there is the gap generated by jati, desha and kala, still once they are kindled, they will give rise only to the same kind of memory which they are meant to give. If the nature of samskaras giving rise to the smriti changes due to some other factor like jati, desha and kala, then it would happen that any impression might give rise to any memory. So I would have seen a boat and then it would have sat in my memory in the form of a samskara, and then at a later point of time the samskara of the boat should give rise to the samskara of a cat. If it is accepted that there is no connection between samskara and smriti. But this sutra clearly establishes the fact that samskara and smriti will be of the same nature, even though the samskara is kindled after many, many aeons. So this is how the vasanas retain their nature, even though they are kindled, they might be kindled after many, many years. That is the point here. Tasam cha the next point is tasam cha anaditvam ashisho nityatvat. It is brought out in the next sutra that these vasanas, how old are they? These vasanas are anadi, ashishah nityatvat. So it is a fact that everyone desires to live, ashihi, that I should live and I should not cease to exist. So how long, if someone questions as to since how long has these vasanas been around in my chitta, then the answer that is given is, as long as there was a desire to exist, as long as there was a deep passion to exist, that very passion indicates that there was a birth, and then that birth had vasanas, and hence if that desire to exist is without a beginning, then this vasanas which are intensely associated with existence, they are also without a beginning. So vasanas are innumerable. So as long as this life has existed of a particular jiva without a beginning, that is the principle of Yoga Sutra, that the bandha is without a beginning, the bondage is without a beginning, but with an end can be made. This cycle of birth and death can be broken. Though the birth is without a beginning, or the bondage is without a beginning, there can be an end. So that point is reminded in this sutra. Ashishaha nityatvat. So as long as vasanas are as old as the desire for existence, so without a beginning, these vasanas are there, and they are innumerable in nature. And when it is said that the vasanas are without a beginning, then naturally a question might come in the mind. So are they so powerful that they may not even have an end? To this question, the next sutra answers in a very convincing and reassuring way, and it says that they can be overcome. They may be without a beginning, but they can be overcome. An end can be put to all the havoc wreaked by the vasanas. So what is the way? Hetu phala ashraya alambanaihi sangrihi tatvat hesham abhave tadabhavah. So this analyzes as to how vasanas are collected. So how vasanas get collected. So when the channel of collection of vasanas is blocked, then naturally the further accumulation of vasanas is stopped. So that is how vasanas are overcome. Hetu phala ashraya alambanaihi sangrihi tatvat. So vasanas are collected by hetu, phala, ashraya and alambana. And hence, esham abhave, when these become non-existent, the hetu, phala, ashraya and alambana are overcome. The causes are overcome. The causes of vasanas, when they are overcome, esham abhave tadabhavaha, the effect, that is the vasanas, can also be overcome. So when the cause is dealt with, when the cause is overcome, then naturally the effect, that is the vasanas, are also overcome. That is the meaning of the sutra. Now let us see what is the meaning of the terms hetu, phala, ashraya and alambana. Vasananam klesha karmani hetavaha. So what is the cause, hetu of vasanas? Kleshas and karmas are the cause of vasanas. And then phala. Phala jatyayur bhogaha phalam. Jati, ayu and bhoga, which is called as vipaka, is the phala of the hetu, which go into the generation of vasanas. And then ashraya. Ashraya is the place of residence. So where do they reside, the vasanas? Vasanas reside in the chittam, Chittam Ashrayaha, and then Alambana. And then for the vasanas to manifest, the Alambana are the ones that the support. Alambana refers to support, and Shabdadikam Alambanam, the sound, the smell, the touch, all these experiences and sensations are the ones with the support of which vasanas manifest. So it is this set of four, Hetu, Phala, Ashraya and Alambana, through which the vasanas are generated, are created. So when by yoga, klesha karmas, which are the hetus, jati, ayu, bhoga, which is the phala, chitta, which is the ashraya, and shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa and gandha, which are the supporting factors which bring out the vasanas, are dealt with by the practice of yoga, by the various practices of yoga. Maybe it is Ashtanga yoga or the Kriya yoga or Abhyasa and Vairagya. When they are appropriately taken care of, then the vasanas which are created by these will naturally be ceased to exist. And so thus they will no more trouble a yogi. So this is the set of sutras on the vasanas, which is very important, which has so many implications. But as this is only a parichaya, yoga sutra parichaya varga, only the bare minimum that is necessary with regard to vasanas, that is mentioned. A verse is quoted from Yoga Vasishta, which says that vasanas also have an important role in overcoming diseases, various illnesses. Vasana samparityagehi yadiyatnam karoshyalam tatte shithilatam yanti sarvadhi vyadhayah kshanat. Sarva adhi and vyadhis. Adhis, illnesses of the mind. Vyadhis, illnesses of the body. All these can be overcome, according to the Yoga Vasishta verse which I just narrated, by vasana samparityaga, by overcoming the vasanas. So by adopting these measures, by understanding the nature of vasanas and overcoming the vasanas, it is the way to overcome the adhis and vyadhis. So such deeper ideas, the implications, what does this imply? What do they mean? One has to go deeper to understand all these factors. So I'm just mentioning that vasanas in itself is a very deep subject, of which only the general framework or general meaning, as has been presented by Patanjali, is given here. One has to go into texts like Yoga Vasishta to unravel and understand more on vasanas, and by managing these vasanas, how one can make one's life better. That should also be explored by an aspirant. So this is on the concept of vasanas, which is the second unit. Now we move to the third unit, where essentially the view of the Bauddhas is taken for consideration and discussed. The Vijnanavada especially is, that is, only the mind exists, only the mind which is conscious by itself exists, and no soul beyond that exists. And similarly, only the mind which is conscious exists, and there is no independent physical existence outside. Nothing is real outside. So these two ideas are taken up for consideration, and the yogic point of view that a soul which is separate, Purusha, which is separate from the mind exists, that viewpoint is also presented, and the reality of the world outside as separate from the mind is also established. So the triple truths of the existence of the soul or the Purusha, the reality of existence of Purusha, the necessity of the conceptualization of a separate Purusha and independent mind and real mind, and also a true world outside, not mere appearance. So which are the essential principles of yoga? That is established or presented clearly in this set of sutras, so that for an aspirant of Kaivalya, he is clear as to from where he is seeking Kaivalya. So he is trying to isolate from the world and from the mind, which has its own independent existence, and so he is separating himself from that, and he is entering into the or realizing the sphere of Purusha, which is separate and independent from the mind and the objects outside. So this is the yogic view of liberation. So towards that liberation, this conceptual clarity is given to a person who desires to pursue this path of Kaivalya in yoga. So for yoga, from the point of view of yoga, the soul is real, the mind is real, and also the objects and the world outside is also real in nature. Those points are clarified, contrasting them with the Bauddha ideas in the sutras from 12 to 24. Now, a question here, which is associated with vasanas, it begins with such a discussion. The previous sutra said that Yesham abhave tadabhavaha. The vasanas cease to exist. Vasana, the absence of vasana, abhava of vasana is achieved by dealing with hetu, phala, ashraya and alambana, which give rise to vasanas. So then a question arises that the yoga and sankhya system is of the satkaryavada, where that which is never becomes non-existent. That which exists never goes into non-existence. And that which is absolutely non-existent may never become existent. So, satchet na badhyeta, asachet na pratiyeta. So, that is the satkaryavada. So, when this is the factor, vasanas which exist since time immemorial, anadi, how will they suddenly disappear? So, is their disappearance or is their absence absolute? That is the question raised. But to that question it is clarified that the term abhava has to be understood properly. It doesn't mean that there is atyanta abhava, there is absolute absence of the vasanas. It is only that they take a different path. So dharmas, see, all these vasanas, samskaras, or all these kinds of experiences are but the dharmas, are the attributes of the mind. These attributes of the mind have adhvas, various paths, and each of this path is real and existent. The thing is, dharmas keep changing their path. their paths differ. The term path here refers to past, present and future. Adhva, Bheda refers to the different paths, that is the present, past and future. So in those paths, present, past and future, Swarupataha asti. The present dharma, which do not exist. When we say the present dharma do not exist, it means it swarupataha asti. It really exists in the atita's status or in the path of the past. In the path of the past, they really exist. And then, for a same dharma, if it is going to change its form in the future, so its anagata form, the form which is yet to come for it, also exists in the realm of, in the plane of the future. So the point is, attributes of the mind, like vasanas or anything for that matter, they have three planes of existence, past, present and future, and all these three planes are real in nature. So when we say that the vasanas have become absent, it simply means they are absent from the present plane, present adhva, and then they are real in the past plane. So if they are not really existing in the past plane, how can we say that once the vasanas existed? So with this argument, it is established that according to Satkaryavada, nothing goes into absolute non-existence, including the vasanas. So in the past, they are existent. As it is true for the past, similarly it is true for the future also. If a dharma is going to change into something else, its upcoming form also exists in the plane of the anagata, in the future path or the future plane. So thus the previous question is answered on the vasanas. So, and it also reminds and re-establishes the Satkaryavada. So then if they really exist, then the next question will come. If they really exist in the past, the dharmas, they have a past form and they also have a future form. So then why are they not perceived? So to that the next clarification comes, te vyakta sukshmaha gunatmanaha. So all these are made up of the gunas. Everything has the, there is a connection. The connection among all these is the gunas. So there is a continuity. So the term gunatmanaha here is mindfully used to state that there is a connection between past, present and future planes, and that connection is provided by the gunas, which are the all-pervading building blocks of the entire creation, both spatially and temporally. So in the substratum of the gunas, these various paths of the dharmas, attributes, various planes of existence happen, but the fact is that some of these are vyaktas, some of these are manifest, some of these are perceivable, and some of the paths are sukshma, subtle, which is beyond perception. So the point is, the past and the future forms of the dharmas or the attributes they really exist, but they are not perceived because they are subtle in nature, whereas the present form is perceivable because of their being of their having the perceivability factor. So it is the present form which is vyakta, and the past and future forms are sukshma. Though this may be the fact, it still is a fact that both the past and the future forms do exist in their true form, sarupataha asti, but sukshma rupena asti vartamana kale, vartamana adhvani vyakta rupena asti. So but asti or exist is existence is real, but manifest or unmanifest is the difference. So by the mere imperceivability, it doesn't mean that they do not exist. So that is the point brought out by the 13th sutra, which is in a way not directly associated, but still it establishes a fact that everything is real and everything exists, which is connected or which is in a way an answer to the Buddhas, which say that everything is just a projection which do not exist in real. So only the mind or the vijnana exists. So to in that way is an indirect answer to the Buddhas also. And then the next sutra, parinamaikatvat vastu tattvam. We will take up this sutra and continue the flow of the ideas from the next class. We will stop this class here, which continues about the vastu tattvam, the reality of the objects outside. So we will continue with this aspect from the next class. Yogena chittasya padena vacham malam sharirasya cha vaidyakena yopakarottam pravaram muninam patanjalim pranjaliranatosmi.